The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Family Sanity with your host, Dr. Brian Stress. When you or a loved one are facing life's challenges, this hour could be your lifeline to understanding and improving your relationships. No matter your age, there is something here for you. Now, here is Dr. Brian Stress.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Stress with Family Sanity. I'm your host, and we also are joined with special co-host Cynthia Kent. Thanks for joining us today. On the show today will also be pharmacist Ted Regalia, as well as Mark Mall, who's a counselor, as well as expert in nutrition. Today's topic is something that's near and dear to my heart, whereas we deal with this topic quite frequently within the mental health field. It gets quite a bit of press, and the topic is post-traumatic stress disorder, also known as PTSD. So today's show will be on the causes, symptoms, and possible treatments of this disorder. Any human may develop the symptoms that would justify the diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder or any other mental health difficulty for that fact. After a person has perceived a traumatic event, the symptoms of PTSD may negatively impact the mind, body, spirit, and most, if not all, relationships that person is involved within at the time of the traumatic event, as well as into the future. However, what one individual may perceive as a horrific event that will negatively impact that person possibly for the rest of their lives, another individual who actually may have perceived the exact same event may have absolutely no symptoms and not develop any problems related to the event that they witness. So, well, Cynthia, are you there?
I am here. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us today. Well, let's just go into what PTSD is. So basically what PTSD is when somebody is involved or has witnessed something very traumatic. And I use the word perceived there because some people can be in a car accident, for instance, and they may never be the same after the car accident. They may develop difficulties with their cognitive abilities. They may develop physiological problems. It may affect all of their relationships where they become very hypervigilant or oversensitive when driving. And there might be another person in that car that went through the exact same event, and it doesn't have a negative impact on them at all. So the post-traumatic stress disorder is related to how each person perceives, processes, observes an event, and then there's the consequences of it. So the way I like to talk to my patients about this is that when somebody has gone through a traumatic event, the first thing I talk to them is whether or not how dangerous they thought that event was for them. And dangerousness would be related to that person's physical danger, emotional danger, possibly being injured, permanently injured, or even killed. And once again, I can't emphasize this enough. We've seen the classic example, unfortunately, is people who go off to war. Some soldiers who go off to war truly enjoy combat. They like it. They look forward to it, and they run through the events that they hope are going to happen today and how they're going to perform their duties and or beyond their duties because they want to be a service to their country and to their fellow soldiers and things of that nature. Other people can go through that same combat situation, and they may it may change them for the rest of their life. So the traumatic event, once again, is perceived. So it's how a person views that traumatic event.
And this reminds me, Brian, of what you were talking about a few episodes ago of how, you know, when you were putting the little, with the infants, you were testing them to see how they responded to the little,
stick on their feet.
Just because I'm thinking, you know, people might think, oh my gosh, you know, if I respond negatively to a specific, well, traumatic quote-unquote event, and someone else doesn't care about it, doesn't make me a worse person or anything of the sort. It's just we're genetically made differently. And we respond differently to specific events. So
right, and that's a wonderful point. And just to reiterate a little bit differently what you said there, Cynthia, is PTSD can happen to any of us. It can happen to me. It can happen to you. It can happen to any of us. There's nobody on this planet that cannot eventually develop the symptoms of PTSD, in my opinion, if they're if they perceive an event a certain way. I mean, there's a physiological, emotional, psychological, cognitive response. So we're all vulnerable to any mental health difficulty, and I think that's one of the, and people who acknowledge that generally have more resiliency or more skills to deal with mental health problems because they know it can happen. For instance, I've dealt with literally thousands upon thousands of people who've unfortunately participated or had thoughts about injuring or killing themselves. I know if things happen in my life, I've never been suicidal. I thought about suicide when I was a teenager, I think, which is pretty normal for most individuals. But I know that if things get bad enough in my life, I could exhaust my resources to deal with those issues, and I could become suicidal. Knowing that, hopefully, I would go, boy, this has happened to me just like it happens to other people because I hopefully am normal, and then I need to get some help as opposed to denying the symptoms.
Right.
So some of the things that can lead to post-traumatic stress disorder are, of course, participating in war, the military, natural disasters, car or plane crashes, terrorist attacks. I mean, 9/11 is unfortunately a classic example that can result in post-traumatic stress disorder. Sudden death of a loved one, sexual assaults, kidnapping, physical assaults, childhood neglect, being physically, sexually, or emotionally abused. All mm-hmm. those things can result in post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms. So once again, and I think Cynthia and I are on the same page here, it has to do with the perception of what's going on around you. So it's very important when people are talking to myself, Cynthia, or even friends are talking, if they're telling us about an event that seems very traumatic to them, to respect that it was traumatic for them, even though we may say that was nothing. In our mind, it's like, well, that wasn't really a big deal. I could handle that very easily. That doesn't mean they can, and that doesn't mean they are.
Or so, that is a bad thing, right?
Right, yeah. We want to be respectful that different people have different resources to deal with things that happen in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So the common symptoms of PTSD are re-experiencing the traumatic event, avoiding reminders of the trauma, increased anxiety and emotional and physical arousal. So the way I think about that, and one of the first things we talk about after we talk about why I am in the room with the individual, if I have a patient who's suffering from some post-PTSD, is there is a physiological response to our thoughts. So if I think I'm in danger, let's say I was a police officer and I unfortunately was involved in some sort of altercation where people were shooting at me and I was shooting back, and then I'm walking, now it's 2 years later, I'm walking in the mall or walking outside the mall and a car backfires and I hit the ground because that reminds me. So our body actually releases hormones, adrenaline. It's really our sympathetic nervous system kicks in, which is our pupils dilate. It's that fight or flight response that we hear about all the time when talking in mental health. So what happens is my mind tells my body, hey, we're in danger.
Yeah, survive. It's a survival response.
Exactly, yeah. And our body literally, our heart rate goes up because it needs to get more blood and oxygen and nutrients to our muscles, so hopefully we can have the resources to deal with what's going on. Our pupils literally dilate. Our lung capacity increases up to 400-600%. So basically, if you think of your body as a car, you start to redline. It's like you're putting the gas pedal down. Okay, and that's to deal with the perceived traumatic event or reminders of that event so that we can be safe. It's a protective device. Other symptoms related to PTSD are intrusive, upsetting memories of the event, flashbacks, which are acting or feeling like the event is happening again, nightmares, either of the event or of other frightening things that may be associated with the event, feelings of intense distress that remind us of the trauma. Once again, like a car backfiring might put us back, if we're a military person, back to some sort of conflict we're involved in where maybe I could have been injured or somebody else could have been injured or killed. It's that intense physical reaction. Once again, the sympathetic nervous system, our heart rate goes up, rapid breathing, possibly muscle tension, sweating. Actually, our ability to think sometimes gets compromised when our sympathetic nervous system kicks in. We can avoid places, thoughts, or feelings that remind us of the trauma. Inability to remember important aspects of the trauma. Our brain just blocks out memories related to the trauma. I mean, we're still dealing with it, but we can't really remember, which can be incredibly annoying. But it's our brains and our psychological capacity that's attempting to protect us from the trauma. Loss of interest in activities and life in general. Feeling detached from others and emotionally numb. Sense of limited future, like you don't expect to live long or get married, have a career. Another primary symptom that I attempt to address immediately, and we'll talk more about this with Ted, is sleep difficulties, difficulties falling asleep or staying asleep. People who are suffering from severe PTSD do not want to go to sleep because they don't want to re-experience the traumatic event in their nightmares. So, and unfortunately, this gets misdiagnosed frequently as bipolar disorder.